I just got a phone call from one of my students I haven't heard in over 20 years. She had called and said that she'd been looking for me all these years. And I was like, what for? And she just wanted to call and find me and thank me for being a teacher that really wanted to have an influence. Because I would leave my classroom open for people to come in, but I'd have Christian music playing. Because even though I couldn't share Christ in school, that was my break time. So they're welcome to come into my classroom, but it's my time. And so we were able to start a Christian club on that campus. And I mean, just a really safe place for a lot of them. And you learn how not to expect homework from them because they could get jumped from gangs or they're, you know, someone's getting beaten at home or something like that. So just a really hard place, but man, amazing ministry. So she just called. Hopefully, please hear that this is not me tooting. This is all the Lord. You know, this is really the Lord. And an encouragement for those of you who are going to be working secular jobs is that Lord can use you in whatever vocation He calls you to. And so for me, while I was teaching high school Spanish, some of you may want to walk over here. I don't know. If you guys are comfortable there, that's fine. But I'm going to be talking, and I'll probably be moving, which means you'll probably be doing this the whole time. So I just thought I'd let you know that, because I tend to move. Yeah. So if you want to move over here so you won't be battling it with me, then you're fine. But if you don't mind doing the wobbly head thing, then I'm good to go.
I put it over here.
Okay. However you want to do it. And so while I was teaching there, so know that, please know that I'm not bragging at me. It's all the Lord. But she called because she was going to get kicked out of school, and I went and fought for her, for the principal, and said, please don't kick her out of school. Put her on probation. After a semester, she'll pull her grade up. I'll work with her. And so she was getting D's and F's, and then she eventually pulled her grade high enough so that she can enter into college. And I just kind of helped her through, walked her through it. And so she ended up, and then I went overseas and started serving overseas and in ministry, lost touch with her. But she ended up graduating from college, getting her master's, is now married with 3 kids and is a high school counselor. And so she wanted to call and thank me and said, I would not have been, had not one person believed in me, because she struggled so much at home. It wasn't that she wasn't smart. It was the fact that she struggled so much, even to the point where her mom asked about me as well, because I would just be involved in her life and others too, you know. But it was really nice to hear that was an influence. So for those of you who are going to continue on in your vocation, just know that your influence, that we are to live out Christ in every areas of our life, wherever we are called, you know. So as an encouragement to that. So yes, so high school Spanish, that's what I did. And I lived on the border, so that's a little bit of why I speak Spanish. Actually, my first 2 languages were Spanish and Chinese. And learned English at school when I was 4 at Head Start, and then continued on. But my dad had immigrated to Mexico first. My mom immigrated to the U.S. And so all my cousins and everyone, it's Maria, Cristina, Gabriela, Susana, Tessia. My dad's name is Manuel. My mom's name is Leticia. My brother's name's Luis. My name's Alicia. So people say Alicia all the time. I'm like, well, it's actually Alicia, you know. And so, yeah, so those are all my, you know, and we're all Chinese. But then the height thing throws them off. So when I was in Caracas, Venezuela, and I was there for a journeyman, if you'll close that door real quick, thank you. Thank you so much. When I was in Caracas, there was someone that entered into, we were having a meeting, and they're like, oh, I'm looking for that half Chinese, you know. And my friends were like, half Chinese? And I was like, right here, you know, because I'm so tall, you know. And my cousins keep on telling people that we're Russians. They were like, we're not Russians, you know. I was like, don't tell people we're Russians. We're not Russians, you know. But if you go to the north, like, you know, Yao Ming, hello, you know. The northern part, a lot of the Chinese are really tall. And so, okay, this is Alicia Wong's theory about height. Is people in the north, when it's colder, they're taller. So you think about Sweden, Norway, you know, aren't they all tall? And then and Europeans who are in the north, the colder parts are taller. And then when you go to Italy, because they're Europeans too, they're shorter. Spain, they're shorter. French, a little short, you know. And so Asia, same thing. The northern part, tall. The people in the south, which a lot of people see a lot of people in the south, because when the communists came, the southern Chinese people took on boats and they left. That's why you see a lot of Chinese who are shorter, because they're from the south. And my grandfather's from somewhere in the north, we think, because he was adopted. So we don't know where he's from. Little bit about my history. And that's why I speak Spanish, is because, and so when we get together for our gatherings, we get bored of one language, and we're like, we're switching to another language. You know? or sometimes we have cousins that are half Mexican, so if they're in town, when we talk to them, it's in Spanish, and then we talk to our cousins, it's in English, when we talk to our parents, it's in Chinese. And so, and we'll respond. Like, if you talk to us in Chinese, we'll respond in Chinese. If you talk to us in English, we'll, you know, so all of us do that. Anyways, weird family dynamics, which is all weird. So that's where I grew up, in Southern California, 2 hours east of San Diego, an hour from Arizona, being one of two Chinese families. Our area that I grew up was predominantly Hispanic because it's right on the border, with probably about, I would say, 15-20% African American, about probably 25% Caucasian, the rest is Hispanic, and then there's two Chinese families. Therefore, there's two Chinese restaurants in our town. And we owned one, which is Lucky Chinese Restaurant, and the other one was Ma's Kitchen. You know? So you want to go to Lucky, because we're the best Chinese food in town. But we've since left there and gone to L.A. I went to college in Los Angeles. But I'm going to go ahead and open us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. And I'm going to quit looking at the date and look at the time instead. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you, and we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the opportunity to learn about you, to be able to say your name out loud, to be able to pray, to read your Bible, and not fear that we're going to get thrown in jail. Father, I thank you that we live in a country where we can vote and have these freedoms that we have. And we thank you, most importantly, for our relationship with you, that we have one, that you want a personal one with each of us. And Father, I'm so grateful for you, just for your love that you have for me. And for each of these ladies that are here, Father, I pray that you put in them a heart's desire to share you and to make you known throughout the earth, and starting with their neighborhoods and where they live, and with their family and friends, and to their Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd help me get out of the way so that you can teach these ladies and speak to them, speak to their heart, Father, that their eyes would be open, their ears would be open, their hearts would be open. So, Father, I just pray and ask these things in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I shared a little bit with you about my testimony. Went to college in California, Southern California, Pepperdine, go Waves. Because that's where they are. It's a really weird mascot. This is the Wave, okay, for Pepperdine. Because we're right on the beach. We're in Malibu. Beautiful. I walked out of my dorm, and you see all of the Pacific Ocean. So it's the third most expensive school in the country. My parents reminded me of that all the time. But it's also one of the most beautiful schools in the country. I majored in Spanish, graduated with teaching high school Spanish. I'm in secondary education as well as elementary, so I taught kindergarten and first grade as well. And taught for 3 years, then ended up going overseas to Caracas, Venezuela. For 2 years was an MK teacher, as well as church planting work. So on the weekends, I would go church planting with a Chinese pastor. We were able to plant 6 Chinese churches throughout Venezuela. And then from there, I went to seminary for 2 years, graduated with my MAIS, Master of Arts in Intercultural Studies, was on the career path to go with IMB overseas. The Lord then redirected my path to go to Southeastern in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Scared to death, because if you're not from the South, you're very scared of the South. Especially if you are of different races and culture, because we watch a lot of movies. So, that being said, God was very clear, very specific. That's another story for another time. I ended up at Southeastern, got my MDiv in Women's Studies there, and still had a burden in my heart to go back overseas. So I ended up going to East Asia for 2 years, worked with volunteer teams, prayer coordinating, and different various aspects of teams into the big country. That's in East Asia, and had wonderful opportunities. After 2 years, my grandmother was not doing well, family needed me back, so I came back for a little bit thinking I was going to turn around and go back overseas. Instead, I got a phone call from Dr. Aiken asking me to go to Southeastern to go and teach and help do the women's programs, which is what Jay is doing here at Southern Seminary. I got to do that at Southeastern. So I was one of the 8 that did not attend Southern. Oh, I visited here often. Great school, but the Lord just decided to take me to Southeastern. And so I ended up teaching there for 5 years and did the women's programs. And after about 5 years, the Lord redirected my path to start working with NAM, which is where I'm at right now. About 2 years ago, I've been working with North American Mission Board as focused on prayer and evangelism and all those different aspects that deal with women's ministry. Yes, this is The World at My Doorstep. For those of you, if you're in the wrong class, this is a great time to move to another one. So that's what I've been doing. So I've had the opportunity to travel across the country and to Hawaii, Alaska, Ohio, Michigan, Arizona. So just throughout to get a glimpse of what's going on, especially with evangelism and being active and doing that. And so I kind of have a mixed experience having been overseas. I've been to probably over 30 different countries, either on short term or some other venues. I've been able to do that. And now I'm here in the U.S. So definitely many mileage, lots of air frequent flyer miles, get to travel all the time. I love it. But have moved since I was 18 every 2 years up until I went to North Carolina, where I lived for 5 years and taught there for 5 years. But up until that point, I've moved like every 2 years. So just a definitely multicultural experience. My whole life has been multicultural, having lived at the places that I have. And I'm not your typical Southern Baptist, as well you know. Not from the South, and I'm not married. And so just all different kinds of, you know, different aspects of my life that's not typical, but yet the Lord has still brought me here. So I encourage you all, as you're, some of you are starting out in ministry, some of you are in the middle of ministry, is you just never know what the Lord has in store for each of us. But it's an amazing journey and one that keeps me on my toes, and I love it. Love it. So we're going to start off first. When we talk about multicultural relationship and building those, we're actually want to look a little bit at cross-cultural evangelism for women. That's kind of how I'm going to break it down, the whole aspect of multicultural relationships. We're going to first start looking at the cross. We're going to look at culture. We're going to look at evangelism, and we're going to look at women. So that's how I'm going to break down this session at this time. So knowing what the cross means for each of us, understanding what the cultural barriers and bridges to other cultures, looking at evangelism, how to share, how to witness to them, and also living a lifestyle that will point women back to Christ, or point women to Christ if they've never been exposed to Christ. So the first thing I wanted to focus on was the cross. Know what it means for Christ to have died on the cross. It's very important for you to know what Jesus means in each of us, because how are the people who are going to hear it know if you don't know it for yourself? And how are you living out the cross in your life? And so there's 81 entries to define the cross in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Some of the definitions is one used as a Christian symbol. Another one is an affliction that tries one virtue, steadfastness, or patience. And I know that when we talk about cross-cultural, we're thinking of the verb. And yes, we are crossing culture, but before you even cross to a different culture, you have to know what the cross means for each of us. There's a scripture that is very specific to that. Oh, before I go there, I also wanted to touch base on the root word for the cross. In Latin is crux or crucial. And this is used when referring to the most important point in discussion and is germane to the discussion. So as we're looking at that, why is it in the English language? The concept of the cross is at the very center and core of biblical Christianity. If we took out the cross, what would Christianity look like? There would be no point to it, right? Because it's germane, it's central, right? R.C. Sproul said this, that in a very real sense, the cross crystallizes the essence of the ministry of Jesus. That's very important to each of us. As a matter of fact, some of us wear what? Crosses, even. Because it's a reminder to us of what Jesus did on that cross. And it's a huge thing for us that we don't have Jesus on that cross, right? Why? Because he arose for us. And that's a very important statement for each of us as Christians. And it means a whole bunch. As a matter of fact, I think when you start thinking about that and when you stripped away, for me, the first time that I had to really think about what the cross meant and what Jesus meant was when I was overseas. And this was probably my second mission trip. I was in East Asia, and I had gone to the city of Beijing. And this was right after the Tiananmen Square incident. Do you guys remember that? How many? Okay. What happened was there was a protest. The students were protesting against the communist government in China, in Beijing. And in the middle of that protest, the government decided to put down that protest. And the way they decided to do it was to bring out the tanks. And basically, they rolled over the students and killed a whole bunch of students. Okay, so there's a big giant massacre in Tiananmen Square. Huge thing, right? Well, a year after that, we were going in and we're going to be cultural, cross-cultural students, you know, cultural exchange student kind of thing. And we're going to go and share with them. And in that process, because that had just been a year prior with all this protest that was going on, we had to cover all our Bibles. We were told that we couldn't use a word Bible, God, Jesus in our conversations because everything was bugged. And you can even hear the other person on the other side. And I remember how precious just Jesus was to me. And I remember my group, we were sitting in a room kind of similar to this, probably half of the size, actually half the size, with 20 of us in there. And my leader just writing Amazing Grace on a piece of paper, and he would start the verse off for us, and we would mouth the whole song because we couldn't sing for worship. You know, and so how precious. I remember sleeping with the Bible on me, just holding it, you know, because it was so precious. They didn't have it all over that country. As a matter of fact, if they were caught with it, they could be thrown in jail for it. So what does the cross mean for each of us? Does it cost us anything? In America, it doesn't. And I think that's why we take Jesus for granted, and we take Christianity for granted. And if you're from an outsider looking in at Christians, why is it they even want to, what is it about you that makes them want to become Christians? And it should be because it's about the cross, and should be because Jesus died on that cross for us. Why did he die on that cross? It was because we're sinful and it separates from God. And when he died on that cross, he what? Took our sins away and washed us so that we can be new, so that we can approach the throne of God. That's what we need to be sharing. That's why the cross is so important. And if we just even bring up the cross, it'll at least start conversations to help them know why it's so important. Many times when you look at religions, whether it's Jehovah's Witness, whether it's Mormonism, it's because they either add to Jesus or they take away from Jesus. And I know that you've heard this before. That's why the cross is so important. Him dying on it and him being resurrected is a very key point to what we believe as Christians. But do you know that for yourself? Can you even explain that to someone who's never heard? Because for other cultures, Christians are all the same. As a matter of fact, Americans equal Christians, right? And for them, Britney Spears is just as much of a Christian as you are as a Christian. Okay? And so for them, that perspective is an equal, right? And so if she sleeps around, well, don't you sleep around then? Do you see how that works? You know, you can read the Bible, but you can also live this kind of lifestyle, and it's okay. And so think about, as you're looking at that, there's a scripture passage that speaks specifically on the cross, and it says this in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 37. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For who wishes to save his life will lose it. And aren't we all about saving our life? Look at how many health things that we do to save our life. You know, but it says here that whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, which is what we are all attempting, right? That's part of the American dream, is to what? To finish high school, then finish college, then get married, and after you get married, have kids, 2.5 kids, right? And then after that, you have a decent job, if not, stay at home, and then after that, the kids are raised, and they go to college, and after they go to college, then they have little cute grandbabies for you to play with, and then after that, you know, you die, okay? I don't know. But that's the American dream. And so look at how opposite this is. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? we so many times exchange this American dream for our soul, following after God, making those sacrifices, maybe not having the granite countertops and the stainless steel, and instead giving that away. And I'm not saying that those things are necessarily bad, and that you're an evil person because you have those things or want those things. What I'm saying is, what are you exchanging it for in terms of souls that can come to know the Lord? And I know that's a hard challenge, but we want our Christianity to be very cushiony in the U.S., and we always just go, oh, I so admire the Christians that are being martyred in China or in the Middle East. I had a friend who has been martyred, you know. I mean, dear friend of mine that's been martyred in Afghanistan, you know, and I could never say her name, but that's exactly what happened. And we were like, oh, we so admire. And we try to make our Christianity very cushiony, right? We want to have the right music at the church. We want to have the right Sunday school class. We want to have the right singles group or the right da-da-da-da. And we forfeit those things that are all about the Lord. And this verse is just, it's very abrasive, I think, for us as Christians in America. But there are certain steps that if we are to take up our cross, we are first to, So the Lord is telling us to take up our cross. What does that mean for each of us? What does our cross look like? And when we talk about cross, one of the definitions was what? Definitions was things that would what? Take on, that are difficult in our lives, that would test our patience, that would test the things that we understand. For example, some of the things that we have to bear that are difficult could be a loss of a loved one, right? A loss of a relationship. Seeing something that is done that is sinful to someone that you know. Those are crosses that we bear. And do we take those and give it to the Lord, or do we wallow in it? Which is what we tend to do, like, oh, woe is me. But you know what? Just because we're Christian does not mean that God is going to put you in a little bubble and nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. They do. And those are the cross that we bear so that we can take it up to the Lord and let Him use it. So what Jesus did on that cross should radically change who we are and how we are to live. So that when non-Christians, people from other cultures look at our life, they're like, wow, she's different. What makes her different? Why is her being a Christian very different from these other people who say that they're Christians? Okay, because of who Jesus is and what He's done on that cross, the way we live our lives should be different. But yet so many of us strive to look just like everyone else and to be like everyone else because we want to fit in that American dream. And so in order to come after Him, Mark 8:34, the woman needs to deny herself, take up her cross, and follow Him. So let's switch gears. As you're understanding what the cross means, and I have to start with the cross, because if you do not know who you are in Christ, how are you going to share Him with other people? So assuming that you've understood that, we're going to now look at culturally. How do we best, and this is where we're going to hang out the most in, because that's what you're here for, is trying to understand how you can connect with other people, understanding the culture that is around you. So what is culture? Culture is defined as the anthropologist's label for the sum of the distinctive characteristics of a people's way of life. This is a definition given by Lingenfelder and Mayers. And it just sounds very, like, wow, scholarly. But basically, it's just the distinctive characteristics of a person's way of life. The way that you live life, all of those summed up together. And that's not too hard. And so there are certain expected behaviors for certain situations, is that not? You're expected to behave a certain way when they're called for in certain situations. For example, when you're at a fancy dinner, okay, you dress a certain way, you act a certain way than if you're at a burger joint or a fast food place, right? Because there's expected behaviors for certain situations. And when you act out of the norm, people will look at you and think you're weird, okay? However, when you're talking about cross-cultural, they don't know what the expected behaviors are. But within each of us, we're going to start off with the most common basic one, human culture. What makes us different from all the other different cultures that are living or not even cultures, but living beings. We're different from a plant. We're different from a dog, right? Even though those are living things. We're different from them because we are humans. We walk upright, okay? We communicate through speech. There's a lot of different things that make us different than other species in the world. So humanly, what are things that we're going to look at that will connect us with other cultures? So as we talk about this section, think about how is it that we connect? How are we similar to other cultures? So humanly, physically, we are very similar to other cultures, right? If I took a knife and I poked myself, what would happen? I would bleed. If you go hiking through Stone Mountain and fall, you will get what? Bruises, because that's what happened to me 2 days ago. So I bruised ankle, bruised rib, bruised, you know, thigh. I mean, I can show you all the different kinds of bruises, because when you fall on the mountain, you will get bruised. That's physically what happened if I was in Afghanistan, if I was in the mountains in South America, okay? When a human falls, they will hurt themselves and they will get bruised. So physically, we are alike in that way. So therefore, if someone has an appendicitis, guess what? They're going to have to get the appendix removed. So those are ways that you can connect with other people, okay, that are part of natural things that happen. So if, for another woman, if they're going through some things that you can relate to, that's a wonderful way to connect health-wise. Most women want to what? Look good physically. They all want to lose weight. Doesn't matter how old they are or how young or how different... cultures, for the most part, everyone wants to lose weight. For what? Health reasons. Okay? Emotionally, they connect. If my mom passed away, I would be really sad. Guess what? A Hispanic woman, if her mom passed away, she would be what? Really sad. So emotionally, we can connect in those ways. So look at the emotions. You know, if a woman has lost her child and another woman in another culture has lost her, they're going to connect. They're going to understand what that's like to lose a child. So emotionally, we connect. But so many times when we're looking at different cultures, we always look at the exterior. We always look at how different we are. But there's so many things that we are very similar. Look at their intellectual. You know, some people like to read, some don't. Okay, some love to learn. I mean, just as much as there are scientists here, guess what? There are scientists in Russia. Okay, doctors that are here, well, guess what? There's doctors in Indonesia, you know. So intellectually, you can connect with other people in that intellectual level. And then spiritual. Outside of Europe and America, the rest of the world is very spiritual. You know, whether they believe in idols or not, that's still a spiritual world. Okay, whether they believe in Islam or Buddhism, it's still a very spiritual world. But yet in America and in Europe, we get very fearful to talk about religion. Like, we don't want to offend them. Why would you offend them? That's part of their life. I mean, look at Muslim women. They're garbed. I mean, hello, they wear their spirituality on them. Okay, yet we are so afraid to approach them, like, ooh, you know, because we're raised in this culture where we don't want to be PC, politically correct, and not offend anyone. But the last time I checked, we live in a country where we are free to share with others about Jesus and tell them. And it's the way that we go about it. Yes, you can be offensive, but you can be offensive about a lot of different things. The way that we go about sharing, the way that we go about talking about God, will have an impact on them. And so we're going to cover a little bit of those of what not to do, okay, and what to do. Also, we connect in the primal culture. What makes up our race and our gender? We normally, for the most part, we don't change those things, yeah? gender-wise, you know what? Someone who is a Buddhist woman, she gets her period just like other women who get their period in the States. Do you see what I'm saying? And just as the last time I checked, too, was that women are the ones that get pregnant and have babies, right? And so, for the most part, likewise for their culture. So there's a lot of things that as women that we go through, menopause, you know, that doesn't skip race or culture, right? So those are ways that you connect. I had a friend, I showed this to her earlier, who was walking out. She had a little baby pushing her stroller, and there's this Muslim woman who was doing the same thing, pushing her stroller, and they ended up walking. And they just striked up a conversation, started talking some more each day. And eventually her friend stopped her and says, Brittany, I wanted to ask you a question. She goes, how do you get rid of this after a baby? You know? I mean, for her, she was very interested in what? A pregnancy weight, how to get rid of pregnancy weight. That's a normal, common thing. So you connect on commonality of how are you as a woman dealing with process. Like, how do you deal with dating? You know, what is your culture like with dating? What is their culture like with dating? So those are things that you know, they're probably going to desire to be married. They're probably going to want to have kids at some point. And so those are ways that you can connect with other women that you don't think about because you're always just looking outside. But hello, they want similar things just like you do. They want the best for their kids just like you would if you had kids. You know, you want to find the best guy, right, to be married to. Well, so would they. Okay? And so those are some things that you can connect. And then the different races, even. Don't just assume that because they look a different race, doesn't necessarily mean they're always of different cultures. For example, I had someone while I was driving in North Carolina who assumed certain things about me. And so I stopped at a mini mart at a gas station to ask for directions. You know, so this is outside of Raleigh. This is a small town, you know, USA. And I'm asking directions, and this lady comes and taps me on the arm. And she's like, ma'am, you speak very good English. I just turned to her, and I was like, thank you, ma'am. I try every day to speak English well. You know? And I was like, I was born and raised in the U.S., you know? And so she obviously made certain assumptions that I was from a different country. And so I think that even though there's of different races, they can still be from this country and speak the language. And so, but those are things that will connect me and make an easier entry for me to speak to someone who's Chinese or something. And so those are different ways that you can look at and connect in that way. But being very, very careful of those assumptions too. Absorbed culture. Lady, this is where I want to hit home because this is where you can really connect and help ladies from other cultures. Think about it. If I took all of you and I put you on the plane and I dropped you off in Almaty, however you want to call it, Kazakhstan, how many of you would survive a week? It'd be very hard. Why? Because you don't speak the language. You don't even know how the currency of money works, right? You wouldn't even know where to go to the bank to go get money. Well, you hope that at the airport there's a money exchange place, but it's a really tiny airport, you know? And they've not been very developed, so what if there's no exchange, money exchange place there? What about the government? What laws? You may break a law without knowing it. Hello, in Iran, if you're not fully garbed from head to toe and covered, you're breaking the law. So would you know that? Would you know if you need to have your head covered or not? Do you see where I'm coming from? Because that's the absorbed culture. You're trying to learn their nationality, the language, their religion, their community, what that looks like for them. And that makes a huge difference. So now looking at that and thinking about, for the ladies that are here, now you're putting yourself in their shoes. And you can help them understand what it means to be living in the U.S., what it means to speak English, okay? What does it look like in terms of what we believe in the religions that we have? That's a great way to introduce them to what Christmas is really like, what Christmas is all about. It's not about Santa Claus, okay? Easter is not about bunnies, right? And helping them to understand the community. And ladies, that makes such a huge difference. And I share this from just my own story. Because my family's from China, okay, there are certain holidays that we do not practice, that they did not practice in China. One of them being St. Patrick's Day. Okay, on St. Patrick's Day, you're supposed to wear
green.
And if you do not wear green, you get
itch.
Okay, because that's not practiced in China, my mom did not put me in green when I was a kid, okay? So first grade, I guess I was in green because I didn't get pinched. But in second grade, I didn't wear green. And they don't announce it. The teachers do not announce that you're supposed to wear green, right? Why? Because she assumes that everyone knows that you're supposed to wear green. So, of course, I get on the bus, and guess what happens? I get pinched all the way down the bus and all day long. Okay, this is, remember, one of two Chinese families, shy little Chinese girl getting pinched all day. Oh, I was miserable. I mean, I cried all day long. So can you imagine? I mean, I still get nervous about St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I'm all green on St. Patrick's Day. I've got Eric Green Bow if I could find one, you know? So can you imagine helping a family out with just telling them about holidays and encouraging them and teaching them, just being there for that family? This is right here is where you can really affect a woman from a different culture, helping them to understand that. Because if you were in Kazakhstan, wouldn't you want to know little nuances like that? And granted, it's not something super spiritual. But you know what? You're about building a relationship. Because if you think about it, when you came to know the Lord, how many times did you have to hear about Christ? And usually it's through someone. I mean, there are some who come to know the Lord through Billy Graham crusades and other crusades. But for the most part, it's someone that you knew, that you had a relationship with, that took you there, right? So it's about the relationships that you have. If you grew up in the church, well, hello, your whole family took you there. But you needed someone that you're connected to that will take you to places to hear the gospel. And for you to hear the gospel, so start connecting with them. That's what this is about, connecting those relationships, starting even here. This is where you can hit home. Yeah, granted, you can't change your race or your gender, although some people are starting to. But, you know, connect with them physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. There are so many points of connection. So stop looking on the exterior and start looking in the interior. That there's a lot more similarities than there are differences. And then the last thing is helping them to understand the learned culture for education system, political system. Okay, what is this education like here? You know, the fact that all of us can go to school, that we have the right to. I mean, my taxes pay for those kids who can't afford to go to school normally if they were in another country. They're going to school because my taxes allows them to go to school. So everyone has a right, whether you are an illegal immigrant or not. That's a whole different debate. But every child is able to go to school at least all the way up to 12th grade. Okay? And that's a freedom that we have. So help them to understand those things. And what do they need to help them succeed in school? You can be a help there. Politically, what is it about voting? How does that work? For some of them, they may come from communist countries or dictatorships or different areas in which they don't understand politically how it even functions. And you're there to help connect them. So building those relationships using these aspects. Also, understanding culture is you want to learn as much as you can about the different cultures so that you don't offend them. What are some ways in which you can learn about the cultures? You can look at books. That's a wonderful way. And I have a list of resources of books that you can look at. And I can email that to you, too. I will give you my email address and my phone number later and my Facebook thing. And I can email those things to you because we won't have time to write down in all the books that I have. Also, websites like from NAM. The www.fortruth.net, I love because it's an apologetics website, so it'll answer questions like, why is there suffering if there's a loving God? What happens to babies when they die? What happens to you when you die? What does heaven look like? All those, sometimes you just don't know the answer to. That's a great website to go to. If you want to learn also about different culture, there's a people groups area for that. IMB.org, wonderful information about different people groups. Also, I brought with me barriers and bridges. If you can pass that out. Did you get that out? There's some up here. Emily's going to help me pass out these barriers and bridges. And you probably saw them at the NAM table. But basically, it's this really great tool that you can use. If you flip to it, like an Islam section, you open it up, and it has barriers to sharing Christ with them and then bridges to sharing Christ. Like, these are things that you need to be careful of, and here are things that you will connect you with them. And ladies, I don't have the time, obviously, in 1 hour to cover all these different religions, so I brought the booklet to you. These are also cost items. They're $2 a piece, that you can buy now. You're getting them for free because you're here at this conference. And I laid a whole bunch at the table, so if there's extras afterwards, feel free to take them as well. Thank you so much. And so also there's a comparative chart that I wanted to get out. One more thing, Emily, here, I'm just going to grab one and you can just take one and take pass those along. But this comparative chart is just wonderful. I can't leave because I'm hooked on. So if some of you can, thank you. Yes, I'm chained. But this comparative belief chart, you look at the elements of faith like God, Jesus, sin, all these different things, and you open it up, and there's all these different religions and faiths, like Baha'i, what do they believe in? What do we believe in as Christians? And you can look and compare. Isn't this cool? And so if you're talking about God, you can just look at God and look at it going all the way across. So helpful tools, because I won't have time to talk about it, and that way you guys won't feel like you're getting cheated, because I don't have time to go through each religion with you and talk about each one. But these are two helpful tools for you. You can order those at namstore.com or .net. And if you can't get through, just let me know, because I can't even deal with that website too well. So just email me and I'll kind of give you the link or shoot you that link if you want to order more of those. But I think those are two very, very helpful tools. But mine is, I really do love that fortruth.net. And I'll share with you this one. This past summer I was in Florida witnessing, out sharing, but we had a little bit time off, and so my friend went to Old Navy because she was shopping for a dress because she had a date the next day. And so she was very excited because we were flying in that night, and then she was going to go on a date. So while I was waiting, there was an Old Navy clothing attendant, you know, the guys that do the doors and stuff. And so he was really upset, so he's putting the hangers away and just really angry. And I was like, sir, what's wrong? You seem like you're really having a bad day. And he's like, well, I'm going through a divorce, and my wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, is trying to, you know, get full custody, and I'm just mad. And I was like, and so he just tells me the whole story. And at the end of it, I said, sir, but who do you turn to when you have difficult times like this? And he's like, what do you mean, like a counselor? And I was like, no, for me, I said, I turn to someone that is always there for me. And I'm like, for me, that's just God and Jesus Christ and how he listens and he's there. And I just went into sharing my testimony with him, you know. And afterwards, he's like, that's just religion. And I was like, no, sir, I'm not about religion. I wouldn't want you to be about religion. I said, I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I had that opportunity to share. And of course, he had tons of other questions too, you know. And he's like, well, I never thought about it that way, because I know a lot about Catholicism and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what you need is, because I mean, obviously my friend by this time has tried on 20 dresses and texted 20 other people. You know, she's running out of things to do in that little, you know, sort of like a little suspicious, like, what is that girl doing in that dressing room, you know? And so, and she obviously heard that I was having this conversation. But then I just gave him that website, fortruth.net, and just let him, you know, look at it. And I said, there's a lot of articles here that would answer and address a lot of questions. And then there's also another tool that I want to encourage you all that you can point to. Is you all have grocery totes, right, where you're sitting? Mm-hmm. And on that grocery tote, you can use it and point to findithere.com. That also shares the gospel of people. So if people comment on your grocery tote and says, you know, say, oh, how cute. You're like, oh, if you want to know more about hope, purpose, peace, or life, go to this website, findithere.com. So that's just a really good clue for you. And so as you shop, you can share Christ with others. But those are all, they're great websites that are there for you to use. So as you're learning about cultures, those are some helpful tips and tools for you. But here are some specific ones, not specific, these are more generalized for all different cultures, because ladies, honestly, until you have that person in mind with that specific religion, it's going to be hard for you to focus in, and it's a lot to study and process. So until you get that person in mind, then you're going to dive in and start reading everything about that area, right? And so hopefully those will help you. But here are some more general tips. So I'm going to go through five don'ts, and then I'm going to go through a whole bunch of do's, okay? Don't overgeneralize. All Muslims are not at the same level of belief. For example, when I was in Iran, there's this very conservative Muslim city. It's called Qom, Q-O-M, and it's where the seminaries are. They're very fundamental Muslims, and I was walking around, and I guess my scarf had slipped down to where I showed about an inch of my hair. And this guy comes up to me, like literally in my face, and I would do it to Tara if I could, but I'm attached. He literally went like this, like right in front of my face, like this close to my face. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? I'm going to get killed, you know, this foreign country to run, you know. And my friend's like, Alicia, your scarf. Because that's what he was doing, was that he's saying I was showing too much of my hair. So I yanked it, and then he just took off. Once I pulled the scarf over my hair, and I was like, I don't know this guy, but he's obviously offended by me showing a little bit of hair, you know? And so then, as we're going back in the last few days, I was in Tehran, which is the capital, much more, you know, cultural and just up-to-date, more modern. Okay? And we're sitting there, and I'm talking, because we're a cultural exchange student, and we're talking to him. And this lady stops me, and she's like, Alicia. And I was like, yes. She takes her hand, and she takes my scarf, and she moves it 1 inch back. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get thrown in jail for this, you know, because people are upset. And she's like, oh, no, Alicia, it's fashion. You know, so all that to say is that, you know, don't generalize that only because this Muslim believes this one thing that all Muslims believe this thing. And I think a lot of us in America have been doing that, because there's one Muslim who does terrorist acts that all Muslims are terrorists, and that's so not true. They are some of the kindest, warmest people. Now granted, they don't know Christ, but they can still be kind. But you also know of Christians, right? Who are the meanest person you've ever met that are hypocrites, you know? And you can go into all of that, but then there are also the sweetest, kindest, gentlest Christians that you know as well. So don't overgeneralize just because of your one experience with this one person that all of them are likewise the same. You know, because of your one interaction with this Thai person does not mean all Thais act that way. And that also, don't assume all Hispanic people are Mexicans, okay? Only because Mexico is closest to us does not mean that they're all Mexicans because they speak Spanish. Hello, Spain, okay, in Europe, okay, Argentina, South America, okay, there's lots of other countries. I'm going to go on, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Honduras, Guatemala, you know, Nicaragua. Okay, you get the picture, right? But people tend to assume that all Hispanic people are Mexicans. Or the other thing is when they ask, you know, you speak Mexican. Like, how does one speak Mexican? Like, use Mexican slang, you know? But being very sensitive to the fact that don't assume that all of them are all alike. Because they're also, they can look Hispanic, but they could have been born and raised here all their life. They could have been fourth generation, okay, Mexicans, fourth generation Colombians, fourth generation Venezuelans, okay? And so don't just assume that they're all alike. Just similar to that lady that assumed that I could not speak English just because I had an Asian face. Because what she was doing was she was overgeneralizing. Her one experience with this one Asian lady, probably, she assumed that all Asian ladies were just like her, which is not true. Another one is don't make fun of someone's country or their way of life. If you're trying to connect with someone, that is not a good way to start, is making fun of the food that they eat or the way that they talk, okay, or the way that they're dressed, you know. Saying, why do you cover your hair? It's 120 degrees out here. Why would you cover your head? That's the dumbest thing. Well, it's part of what they believe in, so making fun of them is not helpful, okay, to connecting with another person. And then, yes?
The neighbor from Spain, and she's pretty offended when I mentioned Spanish.
Yeah, Mexican, they have Spanish, it's just different accent.
Okay, but it is Spanish.
It is Spanish.
For some reason,
well, because they say that Spanish, that's the real Spanish, is what they're speaking. Because they're much more formal, and they pronounce things just a little bit different. But for the most part, I'm going to understand a Spanish speaker. Now, when I was in Spain, lived there for 6 weeks for summer, When I spoke, they automatically said, you're from Mexico, because I have a Mexican accent in my Spanish, because I grew up on the border of Mexico and California. And so there's an accent, but just like in the South, when someone speaks and they're from the South, you're like, oh, you're from the South, you know? I mean, there's just distinctive characteristics in your accents that you have. And so that's what it is. But Spaniards are very particular and can somewhat be obnoxious about the fact that they are the real, they're the ones who conquered, you know. So, you know, just like English with Americans, you know, they have proper English. Well, they have proper Spanish in Mexico and in Spain, you know. So it's just more of that. But see, there are nuances. You can't assume that everyone's the same just because they're Hispanic people or they're Latinos, you know. And they, no, so don't go around calling people Mexicans. Just say they're Hispanic. And even there are those who are from Mexico, okay, they get offended if you call them Mexicans or you call them Latinos or you call them Hispanics. They don't want to be called that. They want to be called Mexicans. So there's kind of like a no-win situation. Just don't call them anything. Call them by their name. I think that would be most helpful. But if you do have to refer, like Asians do not like to be called Oriental because you have Oriental rug, Oriental furniture, because the opposite of Oriental just means you're from the East. The opposite word of that is Occidental. So people don't go around going, you're Occidental. You're Occidental, you know, which means you're from the West, right? So they don't like being called Oriental. They'd rather be called Asians, which is where the continent that you're referring to, okay? And each group has their own names, you know? Like, there are some who want to be called African-Americans, and there are some who just say, call me Black, okay? I'm like, what's up with this African-American thing, you know? And so there are certain different ways that you refer. So just respect what they want to be called or be referred to. But the best way is just call them by their name, okay? The last thing is don't emphasize the differences all the time. Once you build a relationship, that's fine, and you can laugh about some of the things in their country, but you've already built a relationship. They already know that you love them as a person and that you care about them. So yeah, you can laugh about certain things, or you can even look at differences. But if you always harp on how different you are, who wants to be around that? You're going to always want to be what? Like when you hang out with your friends, you hang out with them why? Not because they're so different from you, but because why? You like similar things. You like to do similar things together. It's the things that are, what, familiar to both of you that connects you. So if you're constantly emphasizing all the differences, like, oh, that's weird. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, this is dumb. Or, oh, you know, then why would they want to hang out with you if you don't like anything about them? Okay? So look at ways to connect rather than what is different. And then lastly, try not to ask offensive questions. Like, what are you? Okay, can you imagine if someone comes up to you and say, what are you? Because they ask me that all the time because I'm so tall and I'm Asian. They're all like, what are you? And I'm just like, a female? tell me what you're wanting to, you know. And I'm old enough and mature enough now to know what they're asking is my ethnicity, you know. And sometimes people get offended by asking what is your ethnicity? Well, honestly, the best way is just saying, now, is your family from the U.S. or did you immigrate from somewhere else? Because even Europeans were immigrated from somewhere else. That's not as offensive, you know? And so there's just different ways to ask. Just think, if someone was asking you that question, how would you feel about it? That's a great way to think through offensive questions, you know? But don't be afraid to talk to them. Just ask them questions. So your dues are, ask them about their family and their social structure, education, religion and philosophy, what that's like for them, the arts, sports, politics and government, media, economics, all of those things are helpful topics. Being very careful of politics and government because some people are very anti-American. So just be sensitive to that and don't be on the defensive. Remember, you're not defending necessarily what you are, as a matter of fact, just defend your faith and what you believe in. So don't get into that whole thing, you know, like, well, if you don't like America, you could go back into your country. Well, you've already cut off a relationship by saying that. So just being very sensitive to that. And I'm going to have 5 minutes to do conclusions, so I'm going to move along. I can always send all this stuff to you if you need me to, okay? So just email me and I'd be happy to do that. Also, looking at some of the cultural responses, people tend to avoid other cultures. They could become indifferent. withdraw. They can also reject, insisting on their right. Like some people say, well, they're in America, they need to speak English. Well, can you imagine if you were in Kazakhstan and someone's expecting you to do that after a week? No, it's so hard. You know, it takes time to learn the language. Abandonment, some missionaries have done that, where they so abandon even their own culture that they're so enraptured with the other one that they don't have any of their own culture. Well, the Lord has raised you in this culture. I think the best way to do it is identification, which is what Jesus did. He left the side of his Father to be with us for 33 years, right? He ate the things that we ate. He slept in the places that we sleep. He did so many of those things, went through even being born, right? Having a mom, all those different things. But he never lost sight of the fact that he was, what, God, and who he was. Just like we want to be able to go to their homes, invite them to our homes, be able to eat the things that they eat, go and enjoy the things that they enjoy, but never crossing the line of not being a Christian. Keeping your identity and who Christ is in you. So there are lines that you will say, I won't cross this line just to identify with you. And that's what Jesus is incarnational, okay? I don't know why. It's okay. We're going to hit evangelism now and just sharing the good news. And these are opportunities to share your faith. Looking at relationships, I cannot harp on that enough. With people from other cultures, it's about relationships. Just like for a lot of you coming to know the Lord, it was through relationships that you got to hear about the gospel. So relationships, work, these are all natural ways to connect with people. Work, your relationships at work, through school, shopping. I gave you guys grocery totes to go shopping. I have a friend who builds in 10 minutes of her time, and she stocks the international aisle. And so what she does is she hangs out at the end of the international aisle, and then a Muslim woman will come up, like to go buy couscous or something. She'll run right up to the couscous section and say, how do you make your couscous? You know, and starts up a conversation with them, you know. And so just, ladies, remember I started talking about denying yourself, right? Taking up your cross and following after him. Denying yourself means denying yourself that extra 10 minutes to rush from one place to build in that 10 minutes to have conversation. To stop at a soccer game or to stop at your shopping if you're trying on clothes. To just be sensitive and aware when you're at the coffee shop, instead of having to write that paper, knowing that when there's a little prick in your heart, right? And you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit puts it in you and you're just like, oh, I need to go talk to that person. Stop and talk to that person, making the most of every opportunity. I was teaching at Southwestern recently, and we're talking about reaching women. And I had all the ladies take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I split it all up, and I said, ladies, tell me how Jesus Christ shared himself with others. And they couldn't finish. I gave them 20 minutes, and they could not finish. They said, we're just in chapter 4 or 5. And they were nowhere close, because why? Jesus made the most of every single opportunity that came his way. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to make the most of every single opportunity. So relationships, work, school, helping someone. Ladies, if someone's moving into your area, go say, hey, I'll watch the kids while you keep on moving. Or just even taking cookies, you know? I mean, how long does it take? We have those, what, breaking off cookies these days, stick them in the oven and say, I've got freshly baked cookies for you, you know? But can you imagine if you were in Kazakhstan and someone had done that for you and welcomed you into that building? I mean, what a relief and a blessing, whether they're a single girl or whether they're a wife with, you know, a wife with no kids or a wife with kids, okay? All of those things, whether they're a grandmother, doesn't matter, but just welcoming them, what a relief that is. That's a way to open a door. Day-to-day life, helping them to go to the grocery stores, cook a meal. How does one go about doing that? There's so many different ways. I think I gave you some tracks, right? The Heart Talk track. There's some old ones that are for free that I can send you all. These are new, so you have to buy these because they're prettier and they're cuter. But I love these tracks because Jay Martin, who's the teacher here, he's the director here. She's the one that wrote the tract. I just revised it recently. But it starts off with hope. And I think in this day and age, a lot of people need to have hope in their life. And so I love this track for that matter that starts off with hope, and it's very, very simple, and you can draw it out for them, and that's helpful for people from other cultures where they see all the words and they get scared. So you can actually walk them through how to share the gospel. And there's so many different ways. These are all the different ways, of course. But when women, you want to live a life that will point women to Christ. When they see you, they're like, what's different about her? And I want that. And so you want to live a life that points women to Christ. So basically you can do the heart call, which is a women's evangelism training. I can send that to you in an electronic form, and you can teach others how to share Christ if they don't know how to present the gospel. Focuses on prayer, that focuses on the Holy Spirit. So there's 4 sessions. You could do it in 4-hour session, or you could squeeze it all in and just focus on the presenting the gospel, which is a 1-hour session. All of this is free. So I can email all of this to you if you need me to. But that's the hard call women's evangelism training. Living in a day-to-day ministry to the women, being in their homes, ladies, that is key. Or having them in your home, that is going to be key. And know that when they invite you to their home, it's going to be about a 3-hour event. Again, denying yourself, right? Having heart-to-heart, and know that debates do not work. Debates just do not work with ladies. And relationship, those are key. Now, so cross, know what it means for Christ to have died on the cross for you. Culturally, ask questions, learn, and seek to understand. Evangelism, sharing the good news, and women living a lifestyle that will point other women to Christ. Here are a bunch of resources, which you do not have time to write, but I'll be happy to send them to you. So here's my contact information so that you can get more if you need it. Okay? I have a phone number if you need me to send it to you via mail, although that will take a lot longer. It's a lot easier if I email you. My last name is, my email is awangnam.net. Very easy to remember because I have a last name is Wong. I've heard lots of jokes because I taught high school Spanish, like I'm a Wong teacher. I've got the Wong students with the Wong name, with the Wong answers. And then the best one is, are you going to be Miss Wong until you find Mr. White? So awang@nam.net. And you're welcome to ask me to be your friend. I mean, I'd love to be your friend. So you can friend me underneath Alicia Corey. Corey's my middle name. Actually, I'm from Korean, so some people will anyway, they'll email me or Facebook me with Corey, so don't freak out about that. Same person, not split personality. But in college, people called me Corey, and I just went back to Alicia. So it's just different stages in life. Different friends introduce me different ways. I end up being that way. Anyway, any questions or comments, I'd be happy to answer. Can I just pray for you all and send you all out? I know I'm a little bit over time, but I wanted to do that. Lord, we just come before you and want to thank you for this opportunity to just hear about things that you're doing. Father, I just pray that you'd give these ladies just boldness to share your name because the nations need to know you. So, Father, I pray that you give them that. Help them to be sensitive to your spirit as to when they need to open their mouths and start conversations and share the good news. Father, I just pray for each of them. I pray that they will love you more each day, that they will come to just follow hard after you, that wherever you lead, that they will follow. So I just pray and lift each of them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.